How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Wednesday's edition of Birds 365. We are joined down by Brandon Lee Gatlin of Bleeding Green Nation. Make sure you read all of his work at bleedinggreennation.com and follow him on Twitter at Brandon Gatlin. BLG, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
BLG. All right, let's start right away, bud. A lot of love coming in for Howie Roseman in the draft. I'm in that camp. I think a lot of smart decisions. I generally grade decisions, not players, because none of us know who's going to really develop properly, scheme, all that kind of stuff. I think a lot of things made sense. Where are you? Give me a favorite pick, least favorite pick, overall thoughts.
Yeah, I think the Eagles did a really good job. I'm in that camp. I really wanted, I think, one of three players at 22 that I thought made the most sense. And I thought that was, for me, Amarius Mims, who went off the board at 18. And that was Quinyon Mitchell. And that was also Cooper DeJean. You know, those are three players I really liked a lot there. They obviously were able to stay there and get Quinyon. I should have said Terrion Arnold, not Cooper DeJean. And, you know, so that was a tough decision, I thought, for the Eagles there to make between those two top corners there. I liked Arnold a little bit better, but it wasn't a big enough of a gap that I'm going to sit here and tell you that the Eagles made some kind of massive mistakes. I liked Mitchell a lot as well. I think the value there was really good to get him and to be patient and to wait to not have to trade up and then be able to have the ability to trade up in the second round and get Cooper DeJean. That's probably my favorite pick. I think that was really good value there. A guy who obviously fell for whatever reason, maybe versatility kind of working against him if teams are thinking they don't know exactly where he's going to be. But I think there is a spot for Cooper DeJean, and, you know, for an Eagles team that obviously kind of fell by the wayside last year, late in the year, because of a bad secondary and no small part. Well, they just got better in that area and a lot younger too, which is important.
Yeah, I want you to have a chance to comment on the decision making there on Cooper DeJean. Me and John have talked about it all week long. How he waits, and then he jumps up to 40, and you see a run on cornerbacks come right after that. Looks like a perfect read of the board. Howie's really, really doing that, doing a good job with that in recent drafts. So, what'd you think of Howie's decision making there?
That's an area where, even where I think Howie Roseman has had his faults and struggles over the years, and certainly doing better than not a lot more recently, I think that's an area I've just never really kind of questioned him in terms of the relationships he has, the inside info, the ability to read situations. That's something I think he's always been really good at. So no surprise there to me, but something he certainly deserves credit for, because I would say that other executives and GMs and decision makers don't have that ability. So certainly that is no mistake. It's not just a accident or lucky. That's certainly Howie Roseman having a good pulse on what other teams are going to do, on how certain players and prospects are valued, where they're going to go. And that's something that's certainly a strength for him in the Eagles organization.
Yeah. Now, if there's one nitpick I had, it's Jalix Hunt in the third round. Mm-hmm. From this perspective, BLG, obviously, he's a project. The Eagles acknowledge that themselves. Not going to be immediate. Now, you should never count on immediacy from any third-round pick. But I look at what went right after him. Peyton Wilson, a couple spots behind. The Eagles have a tremendous need at linebacker. Didn't address it to the fifth round again. I guess you could say, you know, why wait till fourth round to take the developmental player. Any issues with the Jalix Hunt pick?
I think you can look at why there's upside there. And I think the value wasn't even like insanely terrible or anything. I think people want to say, oh, that's a massive reach. I mean, you look at the big boards from different experts. it wasn't totally out of whack there. I was just reading through Bob McGinn's draft series after the draft to kind of see what scouts had said about Jalix Hunt prior to the draft. And one of them said third round range. So, you know, I don't think it's insane that they took him where they did, especially later in the third round too. And obviously the value they got by trading back is good. I just think a player like that just like so often doesn't work out. Like it's such a good idea in theory, but the reality of that kind of pick panning out, I think is just, the odds are stacked against it. And Jalix Hunt seems like a good young kid. You know, seems like he has a good personality, work ethic. I don't doubt that kind of thing. I just doubt the way he has to go. And also, the NFL is not exactly always like a hotbed for player development in terms of where's Jalen Hurts? When's Jalix Hunt going to get these like reps in playing time that's really going to kind of serve him and help him develop?
Development period at training camp, that 10-minute span. Yeah.
That's it, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing I don't like about it is a lot of people have said it's a Vic Fangio pick. Four defensive coordinators in 5 years. Like if Vic Fangio's gone or if the Eagles don't live up to expectations and Nick Sirianni's gone, all of a sudden you have this developmental player that no coach on the roster wants to deal with. From that perspective, I don't love it.
Well, he's also, you know, he's a coach. He's not a scout. Like it's not the job of the coach to, and maybe Vic Fangio, you know, is right. Or, you know, it's certainly worth noting that he likes him, but it can't just be like, well, he likes him, so it's definitely going to work out. It's just, it's not that simple. The upside, you know, of Jalix Hunt panning out certainly would make it worth it if he develops into a good pass rusher. You know, those have a lot of value, but I just think it's a lot less likely than the Eagles seem to think it is.
Yeah. 24 is the number, BLG. That's how many offensive linemen went on day one and day two. If I told you that pre-draft and said the Eagles were going to go 0-24, would that shock you?
It would, because I think, you know, the Eagles really wanted to come away with an offensive tackle early in this draft. I think that was their preference. I think ultimately they were going before the Eagles were in range of that. I mean, if they really wanted to get aggressive and trade up, they could have. But, you know, it's kind of a tough sell a little bit when that guy's potentially going to be sitting behind Lane Johnson for a couple years. So, and also, I don't think it was a matter of just checking a box for them in terms of, oh, we have to get an offensive tackle. It's more about we need the right prospect, a guy who could, we feel like can start for us down the road. And I think it's fair to say, and this was some of the sentiment going into the draft too, I saw, you know, Howie's buddy there, Daniel Jeremiah, say that like after that top group of offensive tackles, it seemed like there was like a massive drop off in terms of perception. So, I don't think you need to force a pick at a certain point. If you feel like there's a huge drop off at the position, in a perfect world, you get that offensive tackle. But I think if you didn't love the guys after that first group, I think it's okay to kind of just sit it out.
Mekhi Becton as a follow up.
Yeah.
They did that really quickly after the draft. That sense of urgency indicate that, probably whether it was Mims, I heard they like, Latham, Fautanu. Latham was never going to get in their orbit, but Fautanu did. That indicated to me that, probably plan A was one of the tackle guard versatility guys. Did you read that in a different way, or did that sort of bolster that thinking?
No, I think it bolsters it. I mean, and look, you just look at the depth chart. It's like, who's the backup tackle? If Lane Johnson or Jordan Mailata can't play, it's Fred Johnson, who, you know, Fred Johnson, obviously kind of a nice story in terms of winning a roster spot last year. But, I mean, they didn't really ever trust him to play at any point last season. They were playing Jack Driscoll over him. So, you know, we haven't really seen Fred Johnson in game action for the Eagles. And in his career, it's been a while now. It's a big need. And Becton, certainly intriguing. I think that's a player who, you know, by all the reporting, if he wants to, you know, work with Jeff Stoutland, that's an encouraging sign in terms of where his mental standpoint is at. So, it's a good addition. I think that can give you, hopefully, for the Eagles' sake, some swing tackle viability there. And, you know, best case scenario, maybe he's some kind of long-term fixture, works out in a way that, would be more ideal than expected.
BLG, I want to go to day three, and I want to talk about the fan favorite, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Everybody in Philadelphia is jacked up about that pick. Maybe it's a little bit of a bias to it, but what do you think of that pick? How do you think he fits on this team? And as me and John have pointed out all week on the show, he does, he's a fifth round pick, but he does have a path to starting just because of the depth that this team has at linebacker. What'd you think of the Jeremiah Trotter Jr. pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. That's the kind of point in the draft where I think it's worth the risk. And certainly, I think it's almost baked in. I would hope for Jeremiah Trotter Jr.'s sake that you're not drafting Jeremiah Trotter Jr. to be his dad and to be this, you know, amazing star from the jump, savior of the Eagles linebacker position. Can he help? Absolutely, I think he can help. In part just because, like you said, there isn't really much else certainly settled that you feel amazing about at linebacker. So you're adding him into the mix. He's going to have an ability to compete here for playing time. It seems like there could be some kind of redundancy a little bit in terms of a profile with him and N'Kobe Dean, who's also smaller. But that's a good thing in terms of, you know, we don't know if N'Kobe Dean can stay on the field or be consistent. So to add some more redundancy there and not just put all the eggs in the N'Kobe Dean basket, I think that's a viable strategy, and that's good. And the Eagles desperately needed more linebacker help. They got some, and I think that's a good thing.
Couple guys, I like the player on day three, but I don't necessarily like the fit with the Eagles, and that would be Will Shipley and Anaya Smith. And I'll start with Shipley, BLG. I think they're so obsessed with getting the well-rounded running back who can catch the football. And they already have Saquon Barkley and Kenny Gainwell to do that. Can't we get an Aldrick Estime in here to one cut, get a stinking chain moving running back? And they got Kendall Milton as an undrafted free. He's that kind of guy from Georgia. Why it's like they want a carbon copy, and obviously Barkley's much better, but the type, I'm talking about the type of running back. I want to see a one cut north south runner behind this offensive line. Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy. I mean, I think look back to the days of Jordan Howard, like in 2021, when at that point was that like Jordan Howard's last season in the league. Like, you know, the offense had some real juice with that. And there's obviously something to just the aesthetic of a guy who falls forward, doesn't, you know, lose, doesn't dance. I think the Will Shipley pick is kind of just the Eagles preparing for life after Kenny Gainwell, I guess, who will be a free agent after this season. Seems like that's kind of like a really kind of a one for one replacement in that regard, which is fine, but not really something to get, I think, super excited about. You know, he is someone who can be a running back two, running back three, that kind of role can contribute in different ways there. But yeah, I have a hard time getting thrilled about that pick. It just seems more of like a solid addition to me.
And Anais seems like a manufactured touch player to me. Now, I got a lot of pushback when I said that from certain members of the Eagles. I don't know. I mean, he looks like a complete manufactured touch player. And they've never shown any, at least in the Nick Sirianni era, any ability to use that type of player. Maybe they haven't had him. Maybe he's different. But I was thinking, from a different perspective, maybe they would use DeAndre Swift a little bit like that, but they don't. We'll see it with Saquon this year at running back. This is a guy who used to be a running back. It's a slot receiver strictly. I don't know if he's the most advanced route runner in the world because of all that shifting around. I don't know. I like manufactured touch players with Kyle Shanahan. I don't like him many other situations.
I think there's some redundancy here with Paris Campbell. I think the Eagles are kind of like hoping either Anaya Smith or Paris Campbell kind of pops in that role of like slot receiver slash manufactured touch, maybe jet sweep kind of guy. I think that's what they're kind of envisioning for either of those players. But really, I mean, there's a lot to shake out from the wide receiver room in general, obviously AJ and Devontae at the top. But after that, and especially opposed to recent years where Quez Watkins, for all his struggles, was solidified, for better or worse, often for worse, as that number three guy in the receiver room, and certainly not the number three target based on the other players in the offense as a whole. But now you have a lot of different kind of options there and body types between Paris Campbell and Anaya Smith and Johnny Wilson, who the Eagles drafted, and Devontae Parker in there. So, and then Britton Covey, does he have more of an offensive role after showing, you know, some good potential as a punt returner? Yeah. So Now, they have a lot of different body types there, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what shakes out, not only in terms of, like, who steps up, but also kind of the stylistic preference in there, because I think it's clear, like you're touching on there, John, they kind of have a vision between him and Paris Campbell of what they kind of want.
Anything else, BLG, from day three that sticks out to you? I mean, it's easy when you're in the middle of the draft to want all these guys to be great players. I like the offensive guard from Michigan.
Yeah.
A lot of starts at Michigan, team captain, won the national championship there. I thought they got good value on the day when you're looking at players that could potentially be depth pieces or have a role in the future. Did anything else stick out to you in day three that you liked?
Yeah, before you even went to Trevor Keegan there, that's where my mind went as well. I was like, when, you know, I saw him come up and I was looking at his profile, I'm like, seems like a pretty, like, reasonable guy to get here on day three. A guy who made, what, 37 starts, like, at Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, he can, I think he can, in theory, there's potential for him to compete for starting right guard job this year. If not, he could be a valuable interior backup guy, you know, with the Eagles losing Sua Opeta in free agency and Jack Driscoll. You know, if he can step up and be a nice, valuable backup interior guy for you, like, that's a nice role to have. It's not, you know, the most exciting thing, but that's, there's value in that. So I think that's a nice little guy to kind of take a chance on there on day three. I liked how, you know, he broke out the Deshaun Jackson Eagles jersey for his press conference. He knows how to pander, clearly. So
he was going to drink a beer at a parade. Boy. A little Jason Kelce.
Good pander. Yeah. Took the shirt off. Yeah. He's got that's it right. all. And he's got great hair as well.
There you go.
I'm jealous of BLG. I you mentioned Quez there, and that jogged my memory. I haven't talked about it. I've been meaning to talk about it. You know how Nick Sirianni would talk about Quez Watkins' presence. He would always say his speed is real and it makes things easier for AJ and Devontae. Maybe it doesn't show up in the box score, blah, blah, blah. That replaced that real speed. Although Paris Campbell ran well coming out of college, but
yeah,
guys never averaged 10 yards a catch. It hasn't translated to the football field.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing in John Ross over the weekend as a tryout player. Are they trying to replace that presence? Because Johnny Wilson's just a big monster.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to use him at wide receiver, but he's a 4.5 guy. Anaya Smith's 4.55. He's not a speedster compared to you and me, maybe, but not compared to NFL receivers. John Ross obviously held the record until it was broken by Xavier Worthy this year. Bust of a first round pick. Nothing. Footnotes. Or are they trying to replace the mighty presence of Quez Watkins and try to find that speed guy?
John Ross only 28, by the way, too. Like, that shocked me. I was like,
it's crazy.
It's not over 30. I like that. I like giving him a tryout, at least to seeing, you know, if there's anything there still left. I think it could be more of a rotational thing when it comes to that wide receiver three role this year. So, I mean, think about it. I mean, if, you know, you're talking about stretching the field, it doesn't have value necessarily all across the field. If you're in the red zone, you don't need to necessarily stretch the field.
Yeah.
So maybe there's kind of, and situationally too, you know, like maybe it's not time to stretch the field on third and three or whatever.
For the Eagles, it is.
It could be, sure. Yeah, exactly. That's the thinking. But there, I think there's, you know, I think they could get a little bit more versatile in terms of not just stretch the field, but okay, here are some guys we like underneath in the slot, more traditional options there. And here are some more of the big play guys. I think that those are kind of two different buckets they have this year as opposed to what they've had in the past.
BLG, I want to go to our first round pick, Quinyon Mitchell, the star of the Eagles draft. You mentioned you liked Arnold a little better.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Quinyon's fit? Do you think he can be a day one starter? And maybe expound on why you liked Arnold better. I think we might get into a situation here where there's two guys in the league and Eagles fans are going to be watching both of their careers next to each other the whole time, just like you did with Rager and Jefferson to draw a recent comparison. But what do you think of that player and how he fits with in Philly?
Yeah, again, I think it's a close kind of, it wasn't like a massive gap for me. I just think when I, as simple as it sounds, or maybe as basic as it's, like I've watched, you know, just Terrion Arnold. When you look at him and he talks in his interviews, that just seems like the guy to me that kind of has the mentality for a cornerback. And not to say that Quinyon Mitchell doesn't, and I think it's okay that a cornerback can be a little bit more on the quiet or mild-mannered side. Certainly James Bradberry is not out as a brash player, and he had obviously a great year and before last season. So I don't think it's just about that, but I think that's part of the equation there. Obviously playing in the SEC, the fact that Terrion Arnold's a couple years younger than Quinyon Mitchell, you know, there's just some things working in favor, I feel like, of him there. I know the testing wasn't as good as Quinyon, and certainly that's something that is in Mitchell's favor. And in addition to the production, which is really strong for Quinyon between all the pass breakups and whatnot at Toledo there. So, yeah, again, it was close for me. I like Mitchell a lot. I think he had obviously a great pre-draft process in terms of checking a lot of the boxes, and I think that's really important. So I'm intrigued by him. When it comes to, you know, the day one starter, I mean, you would hope, because, you know, when you're getting them there at 22 yeah. and you don't have a whole lot established outside of Darius Slay here, you would hope he's able to get on the field right away. We'll see what they do with James Bradberry. You would think he's going to be gone, especially after Eagles add both Mitchell and DeGene. But there's a lot of cornerbacks on the roster here, so we'll see what shakes out.
All of a sudden, Isaiah Rodgers mm-hmm. went from Deion Sanders to we don't need you. that quickly after the draft. But you know how this works, BLG. I mean, Xander brought up Jefferson and Rager, which is the most recent example, but, you know, Brandon Graham for years had to deal with Earl Thomas and JPP. Mm-hmm. You go all the way back to Mike Mamula and Warren Sapp. Terrion Arnold goes 24 mm-hmm. To a very good team. It's funny to say that, but the Detroit Lions are a very good team now. And if he starts to play well early in his rookie career and Quinyon does not, that narrative's going to blow up pretty quickly, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be like, you didn't take the cornerback from Alabama to take the one from Toledo. I mean, that's kind of sitting right there.
Hindsight will be 20/20 on that one.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's, you know, quite, you know, Rager and Jefferson, because I think the gap between those.
Players, the gap between those
was at the time, I'm saying, even was just like so large. And I think that was, you know, I thought that was just ridiculous. But I think this was closer, to be fair, and a tougher decision for the Eagles. And I can't say it's crazy that they went with Mitchell.
Well, here's my concern, though. And I think you're right, by the way. That's probably a bad comparison because, and Jalen has performed so poorly, and Justin mm-hmm. Jefferson in hindsight should have been a top five pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. So he was better than even people expected. The Eagles defensive scheme is really complicated. It's really complicated for young corners. We saw it last year, and you have all this, different variations of zone. There's so much. It's such a communication heavy defense. You got to pass guys off. Sometimes you look like you get beat on TB, and it's not really your fault. Somebody else did something wrong. But if you're a corner and you're chasing after a receiver, it looks bad from a fan perspective. Any concerns from that? The Vic's coming in, very difficult, complicated offense to learn for young defense, to learn for young defensive backs.
I think that's part of, you know, the evaluation going into this. And I think that is something that both has come up with Mitchell and DeGene, really, is the mental side of the game and the IQ. Again, reading through some of those scouting reports that were out before the draft, I think that's, you know, both things that got touched on there. And I think you see that too manifest in some of the playmaking ability that both of those guys have. And certainly Quinyon with his ability to get the hands on the ball. I think part of that speaks to, you know, he knows where it's going at some level. He's not totally lost and clueless out there. So, you know, I think there's enough there to say, you know, these are guys who, in addition to athletically talented, have the IQ part down. But, you know, it's a big jump to the NFL. Certainly not even just from, again, playing at a high-level college.
Alabama,
and the MAC in Mitchell's case. So, you know, I think it's not just about who you're facing in terms of, you know, the level of competition we're talking about. I think that's like what often gets discussed in that sense, but also just, you know, the with schemes and whatnot, and the big jump from playing for a smaller college to the NFL and the complexity that comes with.
BLG, I want to shift out of the draft and give you a chance to comment on AJ Brown. He just signed his extension yesterday, had some really great comments that fans love to hear, wants to be here, wants to retire here, called Philly home. What do you make of the star wide receiver inking his extension and just the impact he's had on this football team? I mean, we just brought up Jalen Reagor. Now we're talking about AJ Brown, not that many years later. Pretty crazy to, you know, that where we've come at the receiver position. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously great for the Eagles to have both AJ and Devontae locked up through what, like 2028 or so, like for the next, you know, four or five seasons, whatever here. Like that's huge. It's a big deal. AJ Brown has obviously been excellent in his time as an Eagle. He's been dominant. He's fourth in receiving since he got here in Philly in the NFL. So he's been elite. There's no reason to think he can't be an amazing player for this team moving forward. Obviously got named a team captain last year. I thought we kind of saw some of that leadership when it came to, you know, him taking accountability for that play at the end of the Seahawks game there late in the season. So
yes, the quarterback still hasn't taken accountability.
Well, for that. Yeah, exactly. That's not the best thing from that side of it. But from AJ's side, you know, I think we're seeing a leader kind of really emerge here and develop. And that'll only continue as, you know, he just spends time here and is around here and gets to be one of the older guys soon enough. So, yeah, there was never really much, I think, fair to say, to any of the – I think what was really generated out of just idle speculation and nothing going on for a little bit there in the NFL offseason calendar to where there was, you know, speculation about A.J. Brown, but nothing ever substantiated that either he wanted out or the Eagles – wanted to get rid of him. So now, if there was any doubt, that's all been put to bed by this contract extension.
At Brandon Galton, make sure you follow BLG on X, Twitter, editor-in-chief at bleedinggreennation.com, does a tremendous job there. Got to give Boston Scott his love. Best thing to happen to the New York Giants. This offseason.
Yeah.
Boston Scott going to the left coast, the Los Angeles Rams. He was one of those guys, BLG, you just forgot about, but every time they needed to call his number, he performed.
He made a play.
You know, he was a good kick returner. I remember the Eagles were trying Quez Watkins to be a kick returner. That's like one of their worst decisions. And he comes in and he solidifies that job. Now, they never kicked it off, but they're changing the rules, and kick returner is going to be more valuable. Now, the Eagles drafted a bunch of guys with kick returner capabilities. I don't know. I thought he was a really good role player, and I think there's something to being able to not play and then play. In other words, I compare it to the utility man in baseball. You might have a better player, but if he can only play once a week, he can't perform in baseball. Boston Scott was that utility man. You could sit him for 8 weeks, and you need him the ninth week, and he'd perform. I think that was a valuable trait. Why not bring him back?
Yeah, staying engaged, I think, absolutely. I think that is something that not just any player has. And you might assume that's the case, not always the case. So, I think I would have been open to bring back Boston Scott on what I would presume would be kind of a minimum deal. He's on the older side. You know, he's 29. So, you know, maybe the Eagles just feel like they've seen enough. Didn't really trust him to play much last year. I thought not enough. I thought there were times where especially kind of earlier middle of the season there, Kenny Gainwell was struggling a bit, and maybe it made sense to kind of just mix in Boston Scott for a touch or two to kind of work him in and see what he could give you. Ultimately, you know, I think the Will Shipley pick was kind of the death knell for Boston Scott in Philly, which you're establishing now, you know, Saquon is the lead guy and then some order of Kenny Gainwell and Shipley behind him. So I guess they just felt like there wasn't really a role for him anymore, and maybe vice versa. Although now he's going to LA, where he's going to kind of be competing for at best probably that third running back spot behind Blake Corum and Kyron Williams there. So
Brandon Lee Galton joining the show, everybody. Make sure you read him at Bleeding Green Nation and follow him on Twitter at Brandon Galton. BLG, thanks for joining the show, man, and giving us a great breakdown of the Eagles draft.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There's BLG with us. Good interview there, John. We've had some great people reacting to the Eagles draft. Like I said before, man, we haven't heard much negative on
there's
the
not Eagles much yeah. much to be negative about. Again, it's to me, it's about the process, and the process makes sense. Doesn't mean everybody's going to be hit. Doesn't mean
gotten better at the process.
Yeah, the hit rate in the NFL draft is 40 to 50%. So you got 9 picks, and by that I mean, you know, there's different scales. Obviously, more is expected of a first round pick like Quinyon Mitchell than 6 round picks like Johnny Wilson and Dylan McMahon. So if Dylan McMahon turns into a valuable backup, or Johnny Wilson turns into a fourth, fifth receiver, and they play out their rookie deal, those are hits as late round picks. With Quinyon Mitchell, yeah, he's got to be a starter early in his career. He's got to be impactful. And it's not a science. It's there's a lot of open-ended, and usually when players don't succeed, there could be a host of reasons why. And one thing is certain, all of these players aren't going to succeed. But the decisions, the process makes sense. And when you, and that's why the Eagles sort of separate themselves from others. Generally, their decisions make sense.
Yep. Howie Roseman did a good job from a decision-making perspective this weekend. We'll come back after the break. We'll wrap up this Wednesday edition of Birds 365 following a big Sixers win. We talked about a little bit about that in the open of the show. So stay tuned on Birds 365. And don't forget to like the show. As I keep saying, it's the number one way as a listener to help us reach more Eagles fans. So we appreciate your viewership. We appreciate you commenting in the chat box. Make sure you like the show to help us grow. And stay tuned, and we'll wrap up this show, this Wednesday edition of Birds 365, after the break.